This is a Pinball News production.
Thank you, Rob. Good evening. It's my pleasure to be here. My name is Pete Belarzik. I'm from New Jersey. Around 35 years ago, I originated the National Pinball Wizard Association and the Pinball Wizard News. Our motto is, and now is, pinball people are good people. Let me explain. In the beginning, gangsters and mobsters used look-alike pinball machines that paid off coins, and this gave pinball a bad name. Even after the bad machines were confiscated and smashed, the word pinball was still taboo. Mayor LaGuardia started this movement with his famous smashing of slot machines and gaming machines in New York City. Eventually, over the years, a new breed of people evolved to reinstate the reputation of pinball as a game of skill and entertainment. My newsletter and association was a small engine pushing this movement forward. Rob Burke and his expo took what I started and accomplished my motto that pinball people are good people. And let's not forget Roger Sharp, who before both of us turned over for a great milestone with his pinball testimony in New York City. Going a few years back, before the Pinball Wizard News and Association, the general public never had access to pinball machines for their home game rooms. When I started in Rowe, New Jersey, with a small shop of pinball machines on Main Street, the city fathers all but put tar and feathers on me to get me out of town. Even though there was a brothel right next door to me on the second and third floor, they closed their eyes to that enterprise. But the pinball sales I was starting was taboo. It was a classic reaction to the word pinball. I moved to US 1 in Linden, New Jersey, the town right next door to Rowe, and put up a sign, novel pinball sales and service. It was tough getting started because it was tough finding machines. The operators were afraid that the local candy stores would buy machines for me and it would do them out of their 50% commission. So I got a U-Haul truck and drove down to North Carolina and brought back loads of machines. My Uncle Myron in Hillside, New Jersey, also sold me some machines. I think he put me on to some of the dealers in North Carolina so that I would buy their old stock. They would buy fresh machines from him. Let me clarify right now that Uncle Myron is not really my uncle, but a very, very interesting person, as historians will either know or will find out. This is about the time that I started the Wizard newspaper, 1977 or so. Well, not a real newspaper, but commonly known as a rag newspaper in the newspaper industry. I enjoyed publishing the newspaper. We sat around the house playing pinball and developed articles from stories and photos that were sent to us from members. My son Peter and Nicole made some cartoons for the paper. We created a pinball value system for the older collectible machines and dollar values. I wish I could buy those machines today at those prices. At one point, I flew to Puerto Rico with Roger Sharp's book right under my arm. I flew there to find a guy by the name of Joe and his son. Someone told me he was from Brooklyn and the number one operator in Puerto Rico. I drove a rental car in the back hills of the country, and at one point someone told me, "Yes, I know him. I'll call him for you." And he arrived 10 minutes later. I was told later that day that when he got the call and was told there was a guy in short pants and a t-shirt looking for him, he figured any man in short pants in Puerto Rico was safe. If I had on a suit and tie, he would never come down. He took me to his home, had lunch, then his son took me for a ride in the dirt roads to obscure locations to photograph some really nice old pinball machines. I'm talking about a shack sitting in a field with no windows in the building and no door, but a jukebox, a dance floor, and a pinball machine encased in iron railings so no one could steal them. And one electric cord running into the building to run everything. There was no club license required on the island, so every family had their own club. When I got back to New Jersey, I became a member of the AMOA here in Chicago, Amusement and Music Operators Association, the backbone of the pinball and jukebox world at that time. I went to some of their shows. They also gave me a table one year to display the Wizard newspaper. I also now had their membership list, and it really made my mailing list nationwide. I found Replay Magazine, Loose Change Magazine, Playmeter Magazine at the show. That gave me a chance to advertise my Pinball Wizard tournament kit. I was getting letters from pinball players and operators across the United States. One letter had a photo of a litter of cats that were born in a pinball machine. One member sent a photo of a pinball machine that he made into a crib for his newborn baby. A hospital in Bethesda, Maryland had a pinball in a doctor's lounge so that they could play pinball and relax. They called it post-op pinball. I had an article from a dentist that put a pinball machine for the kids to play before getting their teeth examined. I got promo photos and articles from Brooke Shields, Elton John, articles from Roger Sharp, and his favorite pinball machine, Buckaroo, Ed Trapinski from Canada, with a book that he's writing about a book special when lit, Candace Ford and Jim Talbert of Tilt. I did an article about Harry Williams. His photo was on the cover of the issue, showing him as a father in pinball. That wasn't my article, but I printed it. I'm pretty sure it came from Russ Jensen, who I also got a lot of information from. I met Harry at a AMOA show, and he thanked me for the article, and when he went home, he sent me a thank you letter and a check for membership. I framed it. I'm donating some old copies of the Pinball Wizard News to be raffled off here at the Expo for the benefit of Make-A-Wish. When I was in Linden, New Jersey, I got a call from NBC TV. New York City News, that they wanted to send a film crew to my home and film my collection of real old pinball machines and interview me. I told them no, I was camera shy. But then I asked them, "How soon can you be here?" 2 days later, they came, about eight people. They did an interview and a filming of the pinball machines, and they said it would be on about 6 o'clock news the following night. The following night, I watched proudly as the newscaster announced, "Coming up this evening, we're going to have an interview with a pinball wizard of the National Pinball Wizard Association and show you his pinball collection." Business moved on bigger and better. I found Ed from Monroe Distributing in at the AMOA show listings. He was a big distributor in Ohio, little by little breaking down the walls of distribution. He asked me to come out and talk with him. He gave me a credit line and sold me lots of great pinball machines, like new, modern machines. Business was moving. I hired a new salesman who lived in Brooklyn and was moving to New Jersey. Let's call him Mikey. He could play pinball. I had a hard time beating him. I think he let me win once a week. A great salesman. His $150 silk designer silk shirts impressed me. He was a weekend father to his three sons, like I was to my son and daughter. One weekend we went to New York State to a dude ranch with our families, had a nice time. Driving back home, we drove past Pinball, the store in Linden on Route 1, and found it all boarded up. It looked like a tractor trailer drove through it. The next day we found out, yes, a tractor trailer did drive through the building. This is when I got sidetracked from the Pinball Wizard publishing the Pinball Wizard News. 3 weeks later, Mikey said, "Petey, don't worry about a thing. I have a place in New York that used to be a pinball business, and it has been closed for a few years." So we drove to New York and looked through the windows. He happened to have a key in his pocket. The rent was cheap, and it was right in the middle of a lot of other pinball machine and jukebox businesses, including a real old-timer, Mike Munvey. He was a maker of fortune teller machines, love Tessie machines, and 25-cent photo machines that were throughout the world. The new store was on the corner of 10th Avenue and 43rd Street, Hell's Kitchen. After Mikey, my new partner, and I were there for a few years, we started a pinball tournament in Long Island for the benefit of Hemophilia Foundation. After 5 years in New York City, the business had turned to 90% video games. I decided to pick up my marbles and go back to New Jersey. Cranberry, New Jersey, God's country. Blue skies, stars at night, clean country air, quiet. Wow, what a culture change. After a few years, I had an auction on my front lawn with a real live auctioneer, Colonel somebody, and sold my collection of pinball machines and collectibles. I just couldn't lug them to another location. I sent an article about it to Loose Change. Oh, how I cried on my day of the auction to share all my toys going at prices far below the value. After that, I got in several different businesses around the Jersey Shore, dabbling in pinball here and there, fixing them up, enjoying them, then selling them or trading them for others. I still play pinball. I just finished up redoing a Gottlieb single-player Golden Arrow. My grandchildren are enjoying it now in their basement. Nice machine. Someone told me there was only about 1,500 of them made. It was a surprisingly quick machine when I played it. I had it tuned really nice. When I recondition a machine, I keep in mind they were originally engineered to make money. 50% money, 50% entertainment. So even though I have been criticized in the past, I still put two or three small steel pins on the play field to narrow the ball escape. And in turn, that increases the entertainment from 50% to 80%. Be sure, though, that you'll still get a swish ball right down the center once in a while. Now I'm living half the time in Florida, half the time in Jersey. I've been doing ballroom dancing for 3 or 4 nights a week for a few years. Then the memories of my life came to light last week with a call from my daughter saying a man called looking for me. I said, don't tell him anything. He's been looking for you for a long time. Surely don't tell him anything. I gave him your email address. Great. He has been running a pinball expo in Chicago for 25 years and wants you to come and speak next week. And gave a talk about Pinball Wizard Association. Wow, what a shock. I got his email, read it. Sure, Rob Burke. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Thanks, Rob, for having me here tonight at the expo. Thank you for my daughter, Nicole, right here with the cameras. And always remember, pinball people are good people. Thank you. Good night.